cargo hold, lighting faces and furniture. Even the sabacc players paused their game to look up.
"Seems legitimate," said the thug.
The captain nodded at him, and the thug pulled the cube from the data pad and stashed it, returning the hold to its previous gloom.
"Now the transfer,"
Han prompted. He looked down at Kira, who mouthed, "Be ready." The thug tapped out a code. He offered the data pad to the captain, who reviewed the screen and then pressed his thumbprint to the reader. Something flashed.
"There," said the thug. 6,050,000 credits to Proxima. The rest to the engineer. Now we wait," said the captain.
He crossed his arms over his chest and stared at them, especially Zulo. Han hated waiting, and he hated awkward silences.
"Nice ship you got here," he said. "Shut up, kid," the captain snapped. "Okay, screw it. Actually, this ship is a piece of junk," Han said. "Maybe the ugliest I've seen. I can't believe she actually flies."
Kira elbowed him. "Han, what are you doing?" she whispered.
"At least I have a ship," the captain said. "What's a scrum rat like you know about flying? Enough to know that putting your power converter outside your hull means you have environmental problems. Does your crew realize they could die any day?"
The captain grinned. The thug grinned. A woman rose from the sofa, hand on her blaster, and Han nearly stepped back, startled. It was the woman from the foundry, the one who'd betrayed them all and attacked Tool. She was grinning too. The captain yelled,
"What kind of day is it, Caldona?"
They slammed their heels together and lifted their right forefingers in salute.
"A good day to die,"
they yelled back in chorus, their voices thundering. It was some kind of rallying cry, and Han had walked right into it. The sentiment proved one thing. Once this transfer went through, the Caldona were going to start shooting. He was sure of it.
"So,"
the captain said. He put a foot up on one of the tables and rested his forearm on his knee.
"Have you three had a chance to study the plans?"
Han hooked his thumbs at himself and opened his eyes wide.
"Us? No, of course not."
"Those are plans?" Kira asked. "I thought they were pretty lines."
"You mean the tube doesn't store celestial music?"
Zulo asked, and Han was glad no one but him could understand.
"It came through," the thug said. "We have the encryption key."
Han started to back toward the curtain that covered their exit, hoping his friends would follow.
"You're not going anywhere," the captain said,
and Han froze.
"Not until we're sure this works."
"Wow," said Kira. "I'm literally holding my breath in suspense."
The captain gave her a strange look.
"She takes her deal exchanges very seriously," Han said, preparing to hold his breath.
He hoped Saulo had understood Kira's message, too. The thug threw his hands up in triumph.
"It worked! We got it!"
A cheer rose from everyone gathered. Backs were slapped, bottles of ale were clinked, and one man collapsed against the sofa like the weight of the galaxy had just lifted from his shoulders. Kira cleared her throat. When all eyes were on her, she said,
"We'd like an escort to our shuttle now."
Her right hand was inside her jacket pocket. Han began to breathe deeply through his nose, preparing his lungs for the torture to come.
"You seem like good kids," the captain said. "I'm sorry we have to do this, but we can't leave any loose ends. I'm sure you understand. You've seen our faces, our ship, those plans."
Han's hands went up in what he hoped was a gesture of surrender.
"We saw nothing. We were never here."
The captain shook his head. He seemed truly regretful.
"Sewer rats like you sell information cheap. We can't take the chance."
He pulled his blaster from his holster and flicked release, changing the setting from stun to kill. Kira yanked the gas bomb from her pocket. Han held his breath. The captain aimed for his head. Kira engaged the switch and tossed the metal sphere into the air.
What the?
A split-second distraction was all they needed. They turned and sprinted for the curtained doorway. Blaster fire erupted around them, but it was messy and unfocused.
Watch the gas!
Someone yelled.
Take cover!
Yelled another. Han reached the curtain first. He yanked it aside and ushered Saulo and Kira through. A blaster bolt singed his hair as he ducked through after them. Fleeing while holding one's breath was even more torturous than he'd anticipated. His lungs burned. Spots danced in his vision. His heart pumped so hard and fast, he thought it might tumble from his chest. Kira turned a corner and bent over, gasping. Saulo and Han nearly collided with her back. They spent a precious moment sucking in air.
You think that worked?
Kira asked.
I don't hear blaster fire anymore, Han said.
That cargo hold was a lot bigger than the room we were in the last time we set up one of those,
Saulo said.
The gas won't be as concentrated, and it might not have affected everyone.
Han translated for Kira, who said, And you can bet one or two of them were quick-thinking enough to hold their breath and get out of its range. Plus, we don't know how many of them are on the rest of the ship.
Let's find an escape pod, Han said.
That's the plan. Kira turned and sprinted down the corridor.
Follow me! You know where you're going?
Han said, still breathless.
Yes,
she called over her shoulder.
A schematic of the ship was posted on the wall. Saw it earlier.
That meant this ship had once been a fully compliant regulation freighter before someone had desecrated it. Well, that was lucky. But there was more to it than just luck. Kira had known to look for the schematics and had the presence of mind to memorize what she saw. A spark of hope blossomed inside him. They could do this. Then a ship-wide alarm began wailing, and the corridor they traveled pulsed with red light.
Mika!
Saulo swore.
You were right, Kira, Han yelled. Someone escaped that gas.
There's the lift,
Kira hollered.
Get in, quick!
They tumbled inside. Footsteps pounded nearby. A half dozen Kaldana pirates turned a corner and bore down on them. They raised their blasters. The lift closed, and blaster fire dented the door. Kira punched deck three, and they lurched upward.
Too close,
Saulo said.
Deck three is mostly maintenance access, Kira said. I'm hoping it won't be fully occupied.
People could still be waiting for us, so be ready, said Han.
The lift door slid open, revealing a dark corridor lit only by the red alarm light. Junk was piled everywhere. Spare parts, old furniture, bits of armor, a tool cart. But no people. They stepped outside.
Hold the door, Kira ordered Saulo.
Then to Han,
Help me shovel this stuff inside the lift. Everything that can fit. Hurry!
They complied. Han worked as fast as he could, lifting and heaving junk into the lift. When it could hold no more, they pushed the tool cart partway inside so it blocked the door.
There, Kira said, looking smug. Even if they get that lift working, there won't be room for anyone to ride it.
Smart, Han said. Now let's go, quietly now.
Her eyes brightened with the compliment, but she hurried down the corridor on light feet, the boys following after her. They paused at every junction to peek around the corner, making sure no one was in sight before continuing on.
There has to be another lift,
Saulo whispered.
Yeah, the ship is too big for just one turbo lift,
Han said.
It's on the port side, Kira whispered. The Kaldana will get up here eventually, so stay alert.
Kira led them around a corner and smack dab into a sealed bulkhead.
Blast, she said.
Han tried the access panel, but nothing happened.
Now what?
Move over,
ordered Saulo. He whipped a cable from his back and attached one end to his data pad, the other to the terminal beside the access panel.
You know what will be great right now,
Saulo said, even as he keyed into his data pad.
A scomp link. Or better yet, an astromech droid.
Hurry, said Kira. I think someone's coming.
The access panel whirred with activity. Running footsteps approached. From somewhere close by came the sound of clutter being kicked aside.
This way, someone said. "Solo," Han whispered.
"I just have to believe I can do it,"
Solo was muttering.
"Almost got it. Come on, Force, help me out. There."
The bulkhead slid open. Blaster fire erupted all around them. The air smelled of ozone and burned fabric. Kira raced through, and Saulo tried to follow but stumbled.
"On your feet!"
Han yelled, yanking him up by his shirt and shoving him through the doorway. Together they tumbled to the floor. Kira smashed her palm against the access panel, and the bulkhead slammed down behind them.
"There's no lock," she said. "We have to run for it."
"Something's wrong with Saulo,"
Han said. The Rodian wasn't getting up. His legs were splayed across the floor, his head lolling. But his hand still gripped that datapad as if it were life itself.
"Come on, pal. On your feet," Han said, tugging at Saulo's arm.
But he wouldn't budge.
"Saulo, we have to go," Kira said.
The Rodian reached slowly with his free hand, pulled back his jacket, and revealed a gaping, steaming wound in his side. A blaster had caught him from behind, taking a chunk of his back and stomach. Blood dripped on the floor around him.
"Oh," said Kira. "Oh, no."
Han's stomach clenched. The sight, the smell. He closed his mind to it and reached for his friend.
"Fine, I'll carry you. We'll get out of..."
"Stop,"
Saulo whispered. He lifted his datapad toward Han.
"Take it. You'll need it. Access escape pod."
"What? No, we need you to do that. If you let me carry..."
"Just believe you can do it,"
Saulo said. His voice was growing weaker. He waved the datapad, the cable still dangling.
"Take it."
Han took it.
"Saulo."
"I was wrong, wasn't I?"
Saulo said.
"About the Force. None of it was real. It was never with me."
His gaze had become unfocused, as though he was looking through Han instead of at him. Something pounded against the bulkhead door.
I don't know, I...
Han was torn between trying to comfort his friend and making a run for it. The Kaldana would come through that door any second. Suddenly, Kira was at Saulo's side. She grabbed the sides of his head and pulled him to her so that their foreheads met.
"The Force is real, Saulo. It's been with you the whole time. It's the only reason we made it this far."
"Really?"
"Really. Thank you."
He sighed.
"Kira, tell Rizzo. Tell my brother I'm sorry. About the speeder."
Saulo's head fell to his chest. His breathing stilled. A giant hole was opening up where Han's chest used to be. A huge black hole that was going to swallow him and this ship and the entire galaxy. Something tugged on his hand.
"Han, we have to go. Saulo's dead."
No, it wasn't a hole at all. He'd been wrong about that. It was rage. White, hot, blinding rage. Something exploded from his chest, a primal scream that echoed everywhere. Han rushed the bulkhead door and pounded it with his fists, his feet, his shoulder.
"Han, please!"
He fell to his knees, vaguely aware that he'd hurt himself. His fingertips met blood, and he thought it was his. But no. Saulo's blood. His friend was dead. Something got through to him, Kira's pleading voice, perhaps. He had another friend, someone who still needed his help. Han jumped to his feet.
"Let's go,"
he said gruffly. Kira loosed a breath of relief.
"This way,"
she said, tearing down the corridor. They passed some storage lockers, a small repair bay, and finally turned right into a short, low hallway that dead-ended at a small door.
"Escape hatch," said Han.
They skidded to a halt. The door gave Han a slight start. Its shape and inset reminded him of the sewer openings beneath the streets of Corellia. Kira tried to palm it open, but it wouldn't budge. Han stared at Saulo's datapad. There was a way past that door. There had to be. A distant crash sounded. The Caldana were coming through the bulkhead. Chapter 21. Kira watched helplessly while Han fiddled with the datapad and cable that Su'ulo had given him. If this didn't work, they were dead. There was nowhere left to go. Han crouched and managed to get the datapad connected to the access terminal, but he was moving too slowly. No, not slowly. He had frozen. Blood spattered the face of the datapad. Han was staring at it, unable to type. "Let me take care of that," she said softly. She bunched up her sleeve in her hand. Then she reached over and wiped the datapad clean. "There, it should be good now. But we've got to hurry." He swallowed hard.
"Right."
Han started typing quickly, but she had no idea if he knew what he was doing. "Come on, Kira, think. Maybe there was another way off this ship." The Caldana had agreed they would transport Han and Kira back to Corellia on a shuttle. That meant they had a shuttle. She closed her eyes, recalling the map she'd seen on the wall. She'd always been good at committing things to visual memory, and she could clearly remember another cargo bay on level one. Maybe the shuttle was there. Then again, it was entirely likely the Caldana had been lying about the shuttle. Running footsteps approached. "Han!"
"I think I can figure this out," he muttered,
his fingers flying over the datapad. "Maybe we should make a run for it. Try to find that shuttle."
"No, I've almost..."
Someone yelled.
"This alien thing is dead." "Good riddance,"
said another. Kira had never actually wished someone dead before. Until now. Now she wanted to kill every single Caldana pirate she'd ever seen, with her bare hands.
"I think they're headed for the escape pod," someone said.
"Han!"
"I just have to believe I can do it. I just have to..." "There!"
The door to the escape pod slid open.
"You did it!" she said.
"I did it!"
His hands were shaking, his knuckles bruised and bloody from beating the bulkhead door.
"I can't believe that worked!"
"Celebrate later! Inside, now!"
She shoved him through the door. Han hadn't disconnected the cable yet. The datapad was still in his hand as he fell into the escape pod, and it disengaged, leaving the cable snaking on the ground. Caldana poured around the corner. The first one dropped to his knee and aimed his blaster. Kira dove for the escape pod. Her legs tangled in the cable. She tripped, lurching forward. Her temple banged against the side of the door, and she crumpled into a heap. Blaster fire erupted where her head had just been. She no longer knew up from down. Red tunneled her vision, and the side of her head throbbed. It hurt too much to even think. All she knew was that Han was inside the pod, and she was outside, and the Caldana were right on top of them. This was what it felt like to die. She reached feebly for the access panel. If she could jettison the pod, at least Han would get away. But she couldn't find it. He'd probably jettisoned already, left her behind. It's what she would have done. Kira was alone, totally, completely alone. She closed her eyes, gathering strength. She'd get to her feet somehow. She'd go down fighting. Hands grasped for her. Blaster fire sizzled the air. She felt herself being lifted, dragged over the lip of the doorway. Air hit her face as the hatch slammed shut.
"No time to buckle in," came a familiar voice.
A voice she liked.
"So stay flat on the floor. Try to hold on to one of the chairs. This might hurt."
Vaguely, through cloudy vision, she saw a fist hammer down on the eject button. The ship expelled them with bone-numbing force. Her body slid across the floor and crashed into the wall. Then they were spinning, spinning, spinning. Her shoulder hit the ceiling and her thigh smashed into a jump seat, and she knew, even with concussed thoughts, that one more bad blow would truly be her death. And suddenly, arms were around her, cradling her, protecting her. And though she was still pummeled, the blows were softened, survivable. The escape pod leveled out as the maneuvering jets kicked in. Instead of being thrown around like rag dolls, they were floating through space, lighter than clouds in the wind.
This pod doesn't have grav, so we'll have to strap ourselves in, Han said.
Han, he'd come back for her. Strong arms used handholds and the edges of a jump seat to guide them into place. He pushed her toward the seat, grabbed the straps, and gently, patiently belted her in. He did the same for himself, settling in beside her. There was blood on his forehead, and his upper arm. She blinked, trying to clear her vision and assess the damage.
Kira, you okay?
You're bleeding.
It's fine. You hit your head pretty bad back there, huh? Maybe you should...
I think I'm going to pass out now, she mumbled.
And that's what she did.
When she came to, she knew for certain she wasn't dead, because she had the absolute worst headache of her life.
Kira! Kira!
Holy moons, what a relief.
Hands grabbed her chin, turned her head.
How many fingers am I holding up?
Han, get your hand out of my face. He dropped his hand, but he was grinning so huge it practically split his dumb face.
I was worried that...
His grin disappeared.
After Solo, I couldn't lose...
You came back for me. You didn't leave me behind. Han gave her a strange look, as though she'd just said something ridiculous like Wookiees have wings.
Of course I came back for you, he said. Kira, you're my friend. I would never leave you.
His words gutted her. No one had ever done that for her, ever. Everyone, given the right circumstances, had chosen to betray her, to leave her behind. But not Han. He'd come back, at risk to his own life. She hardly knew what she was doing as she reached for his hand. His fingers entwined with hers and held tight. Thank you, she said.
I'm just...
His expression grew agonized, and he whispered,
I wish Solo... He was right there, Kira. And suddenly he wasn't.
Me too. For a brief moment back on the Kaldana ship, Kira had entertained the notion that when this was all over, and she was safely back on Corellia, she'd have two people in all the world she could consider true friends. Now there was only Han.
Did you mean what you said?
He asked. About what?
To Su'ulo. About the Force being real.
No, I don't know. It just seemed like the right thing to say. He sighed.
I figured. It was all just a bunch of mumbo-jumbo.
If it brought him comfort in the end, I guess that's something, right?
Sure, I guess.
Kira would not cry.
She would not.
I'm really going to miss him, she managed.
Yeah, me too.
Before them was a small viewport. The pod's jets were guiding them wide of the moon, and Corellia was already in sight. It was beautiful from here, perfect blue with swirling white clouds. In the southern hemisphere, where the clouds weren't so dense, a city complex spread wide like a silver bug with multiple legs, hugging the continent.
Is that Coronet City? Kira asked.
I have no idea. Maybe.
You think the Kaldona ship will come after us?
Maybe. Maybe not. Their ship wasn't exactly maneuverable. They might decide we're not worth the trouble.
Kira leaned back into her jump seat and closed her eyes. The banging in her head was awful. And with maneuvering jets only, their ride to Corellia could take hours, maybe a day. She almost jumped when Han spoke again.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Why did you turn down Genra's offer?
It's hard to explain.
I was sure you'd take it. I mean, you're so practical. That job would have given you food and nice things, and
you're a bad influence.
Huh?
I turned her down because of you, okay? Happy now? I've been running around with you too much. I didn't like the way she looked at me. The way she looked at that Wookiee. Talked about him like he was just a thing. It gave me a bad feeling. So I trusted my gut. Just this once.
Han threw his head back and laughed.
Shut up, she said, trying to glare and failing. Hey, I happen to believe you can tell a lot about someone by the way they look at you.
Lady Proxima, for example. Han sobered and said, like you're a tasty piece of meat.
Exactly.
What about me? He asked,
his brown eyes suddenly intense, that cocky grin curving his lips. She didn't hate it anymore. She quite liked it, actually. Han had the face of a true friend.
How do I look at you?
Kira blinked.
Like you're trying your best to annoy me.
He shrugged.
Well, I can't deny that.
They were still holding hands, and neither seemed ready to let go. The fact that she could hold someone's hand without wanting to wrench away, without feeling as though she was giving too much of herself, gave her the courage to say, Han, I don't want to be a white worm anymore.
Me neither, he said. But it's what we've got. It's always better than some, most, all of the alternatives.
Or being in the silo.
Or that. I know what you mean, though, Han said. The galaxy is a wide-open place, bigger and more amazing than I'd ever imagined. It's going to be hard to go back down there, where everything is small and dirty and dark. Seems like there's a lot more to life than that, or there ought to be anyway.
She squeezed his hand.
I liked being up here. I liked being part of a high-stakes game, making things happen. It was terrifying, but it was fun.
You like being a player.
Yeah, maybe. Seems to me that being a player is the best way to survive. Having money, influence, that's what keeps you flying.
Han shook his head.
What keeps you flying is having one person in all the galaxy to fly with. Someone you can trust to have your back. I mean, we wouldn't have survived any of this without each other.
And Su'ulo.
Yeah.
A muscle in his neck moved.
I just wish we could have gotten...
He swallowed hard.
His body. Brought it back to his brother or something.
They were silent a moment, considering. Then Kira brightened with a thought.
Han, let's escape.
Huh? Escape from the escape pod?
No, I mean from Lady Proxima and the White Worms. Somehow. We're smart. If we make it back to the planet, I say we figure something out. It might take some time, but...
I'm in.
He was grinning again.
I'm totally in. In fact, let's leave Corellia together. I'm sure if we keep our eyes open for a good opportunity...
Han, no! You have to let me plan this.
Yeah, sure.
She glared at him, but she felt herself lighting up inside. They were going to get away, leave the White Worms behind forever. Somehow.
Wait,
Han said, pointing out the viewport. His shoulders slumped in despair. A metallic monstrosity was sliding into view, ungainly with attachments, scarred by battle. Two huge turrets at the fore pivoted toward them.
Oh, hells, Kira said, as all the joy she'd briefly allowed herself evaporated. Those guys don't give up.
Well, that would teach her to embrace any kind of hope. Just when she thought they would actually make it back alive, here came the Caldana to blow them to smithereens. Han's face was despondent.
This pod, it only has maneuvering jets. I guess I could make some small adjustments, but...
The hopelessness in his voice went straight to Kira's heart. But we can't dodge torpedoes.
Not without thrusters.
So this is it, then.
Kira, I'm sorry.
They were still holding hands. He turned his face to her and gazed deeply, as if memorizing her features.
It's not your fault. It just is.
Kira reached up with her free hand and brushed her fingers along his cheek. Then she smiled.
What's so funny?
He barked angrily.
The burn on your face. It's finally peeling.
Oh, yeah.
He reached up and scratched.
It's been itchy.
Then he sighed dramatically.
At least I'll die with my good looks returning.
I'm so relieved for you.
Kira, I'm glad I'm not alone right now.
Yeah, me too.
Light poured into their escape pod, drenching Han's face in purest white. It seared Kira's eyes, sending tears streaming down her face. Against her better judgment, she turned toward the viewport, expecting to see a torpedo exploding against their hull. If she was going to die here, she would do it with her eyes wide open, just like Saulo. But instead of ordnance, she saw nothing. The Caldonna ship was no longer there. It had been blown to bits. She had a split second to register a glittering wash of debris floating through space, along with the glorious realization that they were alive. Then a shockwave hit, knocking her head against her jump seat. The flesh of her cheeks pressed against her skull as the pod flew backward into a tailspin. Her teeth ground together, and her spine felt as if it were collapsing. She wanted to tell Han to hold on, that the pod would right itself, but too much pressure on her diaphragm made it impossible to breathe. Their spin slowed, stopped. All the stress on Kira's bones lifted, her body becoming weightless once again. The jets reoriented, sending them back in the direction of Corellia, which the pod's programming had identified as the nearest habitable celestial body. After a moment spent sucking in air, Han said,
"What the hell just happened?"
Kira shook her head.
"I don't know. I just..."
Her head was pounding, and every breath sent daggers through her neck and chest. But each pulse of pain felt like a gift. She was alive.
"Maybe that junker was in even worse shape than we thought."
Han's expression seemed doubtful.
"Maybe."
Another ship slid into view, sleek and shimmering with reflection, a red glow lighting its undercarriage.
"The Red Nimbus," Kira said.
"The engineer destroyed the ship," Han said.
"Actually, I think she destroyed the entire Caldonna Syndicate."
With the loss of their flagship and over a billion credits, only a few dregs of the pirate organization would remain. Han whistled.
"No more shield tech. No more Caldonna. The Corellian skies are safe."
Kira raised an eyebrow at him.
"The Corellian skies will never be safe," she said.
"Fair point, though..."
Han frowned, thinking hard.
"That was an awful lot of people who just died.
Better them than us."
The red lighting of the Nimbus flickered once, then twice, as if signaling them. Or maybe saying goodbye. Then space seemed to fold on itself for the briefest moment, and in a blink, the Nimbus was gone, disappeared into hyperspace.
"It was a brilliant double cross," Kira mused.
"But I don't see a benefit to her. Why did she do it?" Han shrugged.
"I think she liked us, especially you. So she decided to save us."
"Huh. Maybe."
"You know, that was a pretty nice funeral pyre," Han said. "For Saulo, I mean. Better than anything the White Worms would have done for him."
That was a kind thought. "Maybe he's back with the Force, or whatever," Kira said.
"Well, he's with the stars at least."
Kira put her head back, content for her hand to remain in Han's as Corellia loomed larger and larger before them. Chapter 22. Han was late. Again. This time Kira was with him, and they had one last stop to make before returning to the White Worm Den.
"This better be worth it," Kira warned as she jogged beside him through the sewer tunnel.
Their boots splashed through water and muck, and the faint blue light of morning filtered down from the street drains above.
"We're already missing breakfast. If we're late to the meeting afterward..."
"We won't be," Han said. "We'll take the shortcut through old man Paolo's territory. It'll be fine."
"If you say so."
Han slowed his pace for her, hoping Kira wouldn't notice. It's not that she wasn't right. They were definitely late, and missing the meeting would ruin all their plans. But their ride back to Corellia in the escape pod had been rough. Rough enough that Kira now sported a sling for her left shoulder, which had been wrenched out of socket when they hit Atmo. The pod had been as ancient and derelict as the ship it ejected from, without modern compensators and cooling protocols. Now the pod was a burned-out husk, resting a few clicks east of the freighter boneyard. Bruised and battered, they'd stumbled to Kira's safe house. The next day they'd made the slow journey on foot back to the White Worm Lair, where, true to her word, Lady Proxima had welcomed them home. That had been 2 days before, and they were still battered and exhausted. Now that things were back to normal, Lady Proxima announced that she'd decided who would receive the promotion of head. She would reveal the lucky worm at a meeting after breakfast. All candidates were instructed to be present and on time. For their plan of escape to have any chance of succeeding, either Han or Kira had to win the position.
"Here we are," Han said.
He cranked the wheel of the blast door. It squealed like a dying rat, making Kira wince. Together they stepped inside and ascended the stairs. Han couldn't help thinking of the first time he'd climbed these stairs, when a deal had gone bad and blaster fire had nearly taken his head off. Tool had saved him that day. The droid was inside waiting for them, standing tall against the wall, two of his attachments crossed like human arms. One of them was new, a golden alloy in bright contrast to the rest of his hulking steel frame. Most notable, though, were the hollow flames, licking and flickering all about his carapace, making the droid appear as though he burned with soft blue fire.
"Tool," Han said. "You look great."
"I do, don't I?" he intoned.
"Glad to see you, Tool," Kira said.
"And you, Kira. Please sit, if it will make you comfortable."
Tool made a sweeping gesture with his lathe that Han assumed was meant to be welcoming. The room had been cleaned of blood and spilled guts. The chairs and table righted, but neither moved to sit.
"We're good," Kira said. "You said in your message you had something for us. A reward?"
Han gave her the side eye. It wasn't like her to rush a deal. She must really be worried about being late. But she'd agreed to come because they needed that reward, whatever it was. The first step to escaping Lady Proxima and the White Worms was acquiring resources.
"Yes. You see, the Kaldana Syndicate almost got away with that shield tech, which they would have used to utterly destroy our organization."
"I'm glad that didn't happen, Tool," Han said in all sincerity. "Your cause is a lot safer now."
"Only because after we lost the bid, we back-channeled the engineer and cut a second, secret deal."
Kira leaned forward.
"Oh? What second deal? I didn't hear anything about..."
"Do you know the meaning of secret?"
Tool said.
"Tool, what was this secret deal?" Han demanded.
"We offered her 300,000 credits to destroy the Kaldana ship as soon as the exchange was complete."
Han's mouth dropped open as Kira sucked in breath. Han recovered first.
"So she didn't come back to save us," he said.
"She blew that ship to bits for money," Kira said. "Everything's always about money, isn't it?"
"She declined our offer at first," Tool told them. "She had no interest in who ended up with the technology, so long as she was paid and could escape free. She believed that staying behind a little while longer put her ship at risk."
Han could hardly fathom it. All those people dead, a whole syndicate, for only 300,000 credits. Better them than him and Kira, of course. Still, it felt wrong.
"What changed her mind?" Kira asked.
"You did. She contacted us again during the exchange, and said three young scoundrels made her see things differently. So we transferred the money, and she blew up their ship and everyone in it. In the days since, we've pursued stragglers throughout the sector, taking them out one by one. In short, we have wiped them out."
"All of them?"
Han practically squeaked.
"They were a scourge on the galaxy," Tool said.
Han and Kira exchanged startled glances. The Kaldana captain had said the exact same thing about Rodians.
"That was a clever double cross," Kira said.
"Coldly practical." Han gave her a confused look. It sounded like she admired them for it.
"Hey, it's better to be the betrayer than the betrayed," she said.
"But
so many people," Han said.
"I care little for the death counts of organics," said Tool. "It's nothing like what droids have experienced."
Suddenly, Han was glad no one had gotten the shield technology. Not the Kaldana, not the White Worms, and especially not the droid Gatra. O'Toole had almost convinced him their cause was worthy. Han had gone so far as to defend the Gotra to the engineer. Well, that would be the last time he got swindled into believing in a cause. Cause was just a fancy word for war, and war always got people killed. Often innocent people. Like Saulo.
My organization thanks you for being such loyal allies in the fight for droid equality,
Tool continued.
We've decided to bestow a token of appreciation. It's a street speeder,
Han gasped.
Which we shall present to your Rodian friend.
Han's heart sunk.
He saved me from non-function, and his technical skills allowed the data cube to stay out of enemy hands. Where is he? I expected him to join us.
He's dead, Kira said flatly. The Khaldun killed him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Hey, we helped with all that stuff, Han said. We kept the data cube out of...
Yes, but mostly Saulo,
Tool insisted.
I'm disappointed to hear of his demise. Does he have an heir?
Kira stepped forward.
We are his...
Han put a hand on her arm. His voice was glum as he said,
His brother. He has a brother named Rizzo, who is in dire need of a speeder right now.
Han! Kira protested. We need resources!
We'll figure something out. This is the right thing to do.
She glared at him. I hate you.
No, you don't.
Kira sighed. No, I don't. Tool, we'll make sure that speeder gets to Saulo's brother. Tool inclined his head in a very human gesture.
The droid Gotra thanks you.
Kira led the way as they raced back to the White Worm lair. She hated being late, hated it. The mess hall was empty when they arrived.
Blast! Kira panted out. Just keep running!
Han sprinted through the mess and its scattered tables to the tunnel leading to the sinkhole. They burst through and skidded to a halt at the edge of Lady Proxima's scummy pond. White worms surrounded the pond, lining every bit of free wall space. Some sat in the upper adjoining tunnels, legs dangling over the edge. Morning light filtered thick and blue through the high, clear-story windows. There were even more humans in the gang now, kids Han didn't recognize. Lady Proxima must have done some recruiting while they were gone. Actually, she had probably recruited the humans to hunt them on the surface back when she still wanted all three of them dead. Lady Proxima herself huddled in the center, half-submerged. Her jewelry glistened with dripping water, and her dominant arms were twitching with anticipation. When she saw them, she emerged from the water, exposing her long, wormy body and her tiny swimmerettes, causing the water to lap at the concrete edges. As always, Kira had to resist the urge to recoil. She was just so huge, taller even than Malak.
Kira! Han!
She said, in a voice meant to convey maternal affection, though it made Kira feel like a juicy bug about to be squashed.
Just in time, my darlings.
You commanded our presence, and we obeyed, Han said with a grin.
Rebalt stood off to the side, glaring at them. No doubt he'd been hoping they'd be late. Kira wasn't sorry to disappoint. His hounds were with him, massive, grinning beasts with thick, slimy hides the color of spoiled cream. They sat calmly, their giant heads reaching above Rebalt's waist. One licked at its paw. The other yawned, pointed tongue flicking in and out. Kira knew they could jump to action at a single command from Rebalt.
Now that all my darling children are here, Proxima said, it's time to choose a new head child of the White Worms. Rebalt, Kira, and Han, please step forward.
They obeyed, stepping to the very edge of the pond. Kira stared straight ahead, her chin up, lips set stubbornly. She didn't want anyone to know how much she wanted this, how disappointed she'd be if she didn't get it. She was going to play it cool, no matter what.
I've narrowed my choice down to you three. Rebalt, You are loyal, dangerous with those hounds. An enforcer.
Rebalt inclined his head in acknowledgement.
Kira, you are smart, observant, and strategic. A tactician.
All true, but Kira did not respond in the slightest.
Anton, you are instinctive and lucky, liked by everyone around town. An ambassador.
Hans shrugged. It comes naturally. Rebalt glared at him. Kira failed to hide a smile. But Lady Proxima's beakish mouth turned down into a frown.
And occasionally disrespectful, she added.
Which is why,
Hans said loudly, his voice carrying.
You shouldn't pick me.
Rebalt gaped. Kira mouthed, what are you doing? Hans straightened and addressed Lady Proxima as respectfully as Kira had ever heard him speak to anyone.
Honored lady, you should choose Kira.
Kira's eyebrows practically reached her hairline. A hubbub arose as the white worms crowding the sinkhole began mumbling among themselves.
It's the lady's decision, not yours,
Rebalt said.
Of course it is,
Hans said.
And since the job comes down to you or Kira now, and you are supposedly the loyal one, then our beloved lady must know the truth.
What truth?
Said Proxima, looming closer.
Yeah, what truth? Rebalt demanded.
One of his hounds sensed his tension and shifted on its hindquarters, growling low.
When we were on assignment, Kira received a job offer. Something that would allow her to see the whole galaxy, maybe even make her rich. But she turned it down. Out of loyalty to you, honored lady.
Everyone gasped. Kira wasn't about to tell them that the facts were right, but the motivation was wrong.
Furthermore, Han continued, she's the smartest person I've ever met. I wouldn't have survived that assignment if not for her. I would follow her lead anywhere, and so should everyone here.
As speeches went, it wasn't too bad, especially for Han. He was more cut out for leadership than he realized. Even Kira could see that. Lady Proxima loomed over Kira, then slowly, inexorably lowered herself until they were nose to nose. Her huge face dwarfed Kira's, and her nostril slits twitched, as though she was sniffing the girl. Kira didn't move, didn't even blink. She would be poised. She would not panic.
Is it true, Kira, my darling? Proxima said. Did you reject the whole galaxy for me?
One heartbeat. Two. Yes, my lady. My home is here. With you. Proxima drew herself to full height again, water sloshing everywhere. She clasped her dominant hands together, and her swimmerets waved with excitement. To everyone crowding the sinkhole, she said,
Please welcome your new head, Kira of the White Worms.
A cheer went up, and no one cheered more loudly than Han. Kira felt vaguely stunned while kids surrounded her, slapping her back, shouting congratulations. Even Malak inclined his head at her in acknowledgement. Only Rebalt stood off to the side, seething, his hounds dancing with barely contained anxiety. Lady Proxima waved her arms, and the crowd hushed. She said,
In celebration, the mess will serve a second round of breakfast.
Another cheer. But Kira couldn't quite bring herself to celebrate. She was too confused. Why had he done it?
Yum, thought Han as he headed to second breakfast. More rat sludge. But this marked the beginning of Lady Proxima's keeping her end of the bargain and feeding them two meals per day, so Han wasn't about to complain.
As they all herded themselves through the tunnel back into the mess, Kira grabbed Rebolt's sleeve. Rebolt, she said, and he spun to face her. Everyone froze and stared, waiting to see what would happen. Han moved closer, ready to tackle Rebolt if he tried anything. Rebolt hesitated before replying,
"What?"
"I've an errand for you." Horror filled Rebolt's face as the true import hit him. Kira was in charge now. She could order him to do anything. A muscle in his jaw twitched. Then he managed,
"Yes, head. Whatever you need."
But he turned to glare coldly at Han. Han smiled. He couldn't wait to hear what she'd cooked up.
"Take a few of your dog biscuits and deliver them to a friend of mine," she said. "His name is Paolo. Tell him it's in gratitude for helping Han, Kira, and Saulo. For letting us visit."
Rebolt's eyes narrowed.
"You mean old man Paolo, that creepy hermit?"
"Paolo is a great ally of the White Worms, and we shall continue to cultivate our relationship with him," Kira said. Quickly, she gave him directions. Rebolt turned to go.
"And Rebolt!"
Kira called after him. He paused, but did not turn around.
"Don't scare him. Leave your hounds behind."
He stormed off, and Han felt his grin grow wider and wider.
"He really hates us now," he observed.
"Oh, yes," Kira said. "But he already did. I realized I had to put him in his place quick, establish my authority. Be careful with him, Han. He'll blame you for all this." That was Kira, always thinking. As they stepped into the mess, Han said,
"Saulo would have loved to see that happen."
Kira gifted him with a sad smile. "Yes, I think he would have." They sat at one of the lily pad tables. A few others tried to join them, but Kira waved them off. When no one was in earshot, she leaned forward and said, "Han, I have to know. Why did you do it? Was it just one of those impulse decisions?"
"Sort of. Maybe."
The truth was, Kira deserved the position, and it was more important to her than it was to him. "But I thought you really wanted this."
"I did."
He leaned close, so their faces were a hand's breadth apart, and he whispered,
"There are some things I want even more. Like escaping Corellia. With my only friend."
Her cheeks colored, and she sat back in her seat. A tiny smile curved her lips. "No one's ever sacrificed something for me before."
"Well, don't get used to it," he said gruffly, suddenly uncomfortable. "And I wouldn't have done it if you didn't deserve it."
She was still smiling. He loved that smile. "I think I finally believe you," she said. "You'll never betray me, will you, Han?"
"Course not."
A little boy no older than 7 years old approached, wearing smudged goggles and carrying a bowl. Kira started to wave him away, but the boy said,
"I'm Halro. I'm new. Moloch says you get a bowl of creamed herring now that you're head."
Thanks, Halro. Kira sniffed it, shrugged, then took a bite. The boy in the goggles backed away.
"How is it?"
Han asked.
"Creamy," she said.
"And fishy."
"I guess it beats rat sludge."
"Barely. Here, have some." She shoved the bowl at him, and he didn't hesitate to take a huge bite.
"It wasn't awful." "So," he said, wiping his mouth, "you're sharing your special ration with me? Just the two of us, alone, eating a meal together? Is this a date?"
"No, of course not." You couldn't blame a guy for trying. If he was being honest with himself, he was a little relieved. What he needed right now was a friend. Even though Kira just might be the prettiest, most interesting girl he had ever met. Something in her face changed, and Han got the feeling she was holding back a smile. But maybe someday. She let the idea dangle in the air.
"Someday" sounded good. "Yeah, maybe."
He gave her his most charming grin. They ate in companionable silence, in the way of trusted friends who didn't need to fill a space with conversation. Han had meant what he said to Kira in the escape pod. "What keeps you flying is having one person in all the galaxy to fly with. Someone you can trust to have your back." Kira might be his one person. She would always have his back, and he would have hers. And together, someday soon, they would fly away.
This is Saskia Marleveld. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars: Most Wanted by Ray Carson. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Nick Martorelli. Star Wars Most Wanted is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.